Hello there. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett on Empower Radio, or wherever it is you happen to be listening. That's where we are. Okay. It's all relative. We're here now. And so are you, conveniently. Thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your time. Got some very, very fascinating information that I really am looking forward to sharing because this is close to my heart. I've had these experiences and it's so nice at this point in our lifetimes that this information is coming together. It's more accessible. It doesn't have to be frightening. It's enlightening, illuminating, positive, reinforcing, and reaffirming that we have amazing, amazing potential as human beings and an absolutely astounding, extraordinary future. And all we have to do is be present. All right? Bring yourself to the equation. And reality shows up. There's a wonderful group that is now forming, looking for people who've had experiences. And not just the run-of-the-mill, hey, I saw something, UFO, but all across the board, combining paranormal with extraterrestrial, UFO, contact-type events. Because it isn't just one area that this touches. The more research I did, and the more in terms of exploration, the interviews, the more background I was able to find, this continued to be a very, very crucial element. In addition to a contact experience, there is a paranormal and a very, very present paranormal element. So I have somebody on who's also experienced these kinds of things and is part of this group, the research group, Free. Ray Hernandez is the board of director. Is that how you say it? And co-founder, Free board of director and co-founder. I'm reading this. Director of the board. Depends on how you say it. Ray, thank you. I'm so excited to talk with you because you've had some extraordinary experiences and how this all came together. I'd already talked with Mary Rodwell. I knew she was saying, I have to keep it under wraps. It's going to be something big, and I really can't talk about it. It's like, Mary, that is just not fair. There's a carrot, and she's just set it out there, and I had to wait 6 months. Then you guys put your little research on the back burner, and I had to go back another 3 or 4 months. Thank you. Finally, you can talk. Yay! How did this all get started for you?
Well, let me just make a little clarification here. The organization's name is FREE, which stands for the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And the executive director of FREE is Dr. Rudy Shields, who is a 75-year-old emeritus professor of astrophysics at Harvard University. And I am one of the co-founders of this organization, together with Rudy, with Dr. Edgar Mitchell, and with Mary Rodwell, who you know quite well. And we do have an outstanding board of directors. We have 10 members in total, and later on we can talk about that. But getting back to your question, how did I get involved in all of this so-called lunacy? It happened back in 2012, March of 2012. At March 4th, as a matter of fact, on 2012, on that day, I was totally transformed. Previous to that day, I was an atheist. I was a material rationalist. I had gone to Rutgers College. I had went to Cornell for a master's degree. I went to UC Berkeley for a PhD. And then I've been an attorney now for 17 years. So it's the total antithesis of what you expect of someone with anomalous psychotic experiences. And then on that day, both my wife and I had a profound experience, which have totally, completely transformed us. Should I go into the details of what happened that day?
An overview, yeah, because some of these people who are listening now haven't heard your story before. Now, I will tell you, if you're listening, you can also get a fuller presentation on YouTube. There are several videos out that Ray does talk about this. But for right now, yeah, because this is an essential part of the equation, which explains why somebody with your background, who's that, you know, that very linear and reality-based kind of thinking would all of a sudden go, holy cow.
Well, the experience... of my transformation started in on March 4th of 2012, and it was a joint experience with my wife. Our dog had been paralyzed the day before in the evening. She was 16 years old. She was like an old lady, barely able to walk, and we were keeping her alive with various medications. My wife, who's originally from Mexico, she was, and that's the word was, a hardcore Catholic, and she was praying all night for a miracle to happen. So that next day, we had made an appointment with our vet to put her to sleep. So at 6 o'clock in the morning, our dog woke us up barking because that's the only thing she could do because her body was paralyzed from the neck down. And so we checked her out to see if she had recovered from her paralysis, and she did not. So I went back to bed, and my wife carried her down the stairs. And then when she got down the stairs, she saw, I guess, what can be described as like a little UFO craft inside our living room. Roughly, it looked like an upside-down U. It was metallic in shape, roughly 2 feet wide by 3 feet in height, and it had these two green lights in the center of it. So my wife, being a good Catholic, knelt down and started praying and basically said, if you're a bad spirit, get the hell out. If you're a good spirit or an angel, please help me with Nena. I mean, little girl in Spanish. That's the name of our dog. And then these two green lights lit up and started blinking, and this white fluorescent light started shooting off from the side. Now, my wife wasn't scared, but she was trying to call me to come down so she can see this thing. I totally ignored her. After several minutes, she physically went upstairs and hauled me out of bed. And I was somewhat upset because this is Sunday morning at 6 o'clock and I needed my beauty rest, you know. And and I thought it was like a little cockroach that she had seen or something like that, you know, or a little mouse. Uh-huh. And so when I got downstairs, she just landed on the bottom rung of the stairs. And I was right behind her. She disappeared. Okay, and the dog disappeared. And then the rational thing to do would be for you to freak out. You know, what the hell just happened? But no, that's not what happened. What I did is my head slowly turned to the corner of our living room, which happened to be the same location where she had seen that craft. Now, mind you, I didn't see that craft. What I saw was something totally different. What I saw was a floating plasma being. And being because it totally controlled my mind. And let me describe what it looked like. It looked like approximately 2 to 3 feet in wide by about a foot to a foot and a half in height. Floating energy, pure floating energy, sort of like rectangular in shape, but it didn't have any external edges because it was pure floating energy, multicolored. It had tons of different colors moving around in there, and it was semi-transparent. And then I did something which is totally illogical. It wasn't until many months later that I was able to find out why I did that. But basically, I looked at it, you know, this is what my wife got me up for this, you know. So then I turned around. I turned around. I walked up the stairs. I laid in bed, and then I was completely knocked out.
That's,
you know,
denial. Man, whoa. Just incredible.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what happened. It was like, okay, little kid, you know, we need to work on your dog and your wife. You know, go back to sleep. I'll let you even walk upstairs instead of knocking you out on the floor, you know. Yeah. And then we'll wake you up when we're ready. You know, it was that type of thing. Like about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, I woke up. It's like I was fully conscious now. I was like, holy cow, what the hell just happened? You know, I ran down the stairs. And then when I got to the same exact position where I was when my wife disappeared, all of a sudden, I saw my wife dancing in the middle of the living room saying, the angels cured her, the angels cured her, the angels cured her. And our dog was like running all over the living room, jumping up like, you know, 2 feet up in the air, jumping and jumping like happy as all hell. And in my head, it was like an atom bomb exploded in my head, you know. Like, total pandemonium. So then I asked my wife, you know, what the hell happened? You know, she said, you saw it. The angels came and they cured her. They came. I said, what angels? I didn't see any angels. What I saw was this floating plasma object, you know. And, you know, that's not what I saw. And then she described what she saw. So we had two conflicting versions of what was seen. Then secondly, I said, you just disappeared in front of me. You were gone. He says, I never disappeared in front of you. You know, I just looked down and then I was running around and then I celebrated. So it wasn't until many, many months later that I realized this concept of missing time. That's what she had. She was brought forward in the future, you know, half an hour to 45 minutes. But to her, there was instantaneous because she was never disappeared. To her, it's like she went down the stairs trying to show me this thing. She looked down. Our dog was already running around and moving around. And then she started celebrating like, you know, her prayers had been answered.
Mm-hmm.
So it was total massive confusion, pandemonium. We couldn't get our story straight. She had one experience. I had another experience. And, you know, I couldn't make heads or tails of what was going on. Meanwhile, I would continue to pry for more detailed information. And for her, it's like, you know, you're just an atheist, you know, you're a non-believer. You know, that's why you can't accept what I'm telling you, you know.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
for me, it was like, you know, this thing is more profound than what you're telling me, because I can't make heads or tails of all these other things that happened while you were gone. So immediately I went to the internet. I typed in UFO, not UFOs, not at that point. I typed in, you know, ETs, paranormal, that sort of thing. And then it was just pure hogwash that was on the internet. It was just even more confusing, you know?
Yeah.
Nephilims, Anunnakis, they're gods, they're devils. They're like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm
right.
You know. And so to me, it was, you know, even more confusing. And then what happened was several months later after this incident, my wife was called out in the middle of the night at 3:30 in the morning by our dog, who woke her up. And instead of going through the back door to do her necessities, she was jumping on the front door. So my wife opened the front door at 3:30 in the morning, walked down the, you know, small flight of stairs, and boom, right on top of her, very close to her, was a huge, gigantic UFO. And she told me, oh, the angels came and visited me last night. They came in their beautiful angelic craft. It had colors just like the stained glass windows of our church, you know, and she went on and on and on. And I was like freaking out because now it's like UFO related, you know, suspected it, but now it was right in my face, you know? And so I asked her tons of questions and, you know, what had happened. And she basically said that it appeared materialized, for 2 minutes. And then it completely disappeared right in front of her. And to her, it was just, you know, her angels came and visited her. And then I went into the heavy-duty UFO research on the internet, you know?
Yeah, okay.
And that was even more confusing because it was pure hogwash that's there, you know? And so several months after that, she went to Mexico, and she had numerous experiences. Almost all of them, there were witnesses. One time, there were 8 witnesses in a 2-car caravan that was going from one sister's house to the other sister's house, and they had to cross a very rural area. In Mexico, and a huge craft descended from the sky, beamed the blue light in front of the lead car for about a minute or two. Then the blue light was withdrawn and the craft shot off. It was roughly half of those people saw the blue light. All 8 people saw the craft. And it was a craft that my wife had called down to appear at 9 o'clock, but it didn't appear at 9. It appeared at 9:30. Okay.
It
was another incident of a craft that she had called down. At 9 o'clock, it was about 9:30 when she was up on the roof, you know, praying and meditating, and no craft appeared. An hour and a half later, in the 11 o'clock news, which is over Veracruz Airport, which is only half an hour away from where they lived, a UFO craft stopped all traffic for more than an hour. They had 3 reporters on the scene. They had videotape. They had pictures. You know, very good pictures. Of these different colored lights in the sky, floating in the sky. And that was the first incident. And then there was another incident where my wife went to a spiritual retreat, one of the mountains in Mexico. And there she saw these 3 men that were 9 feet tall, dressed in white robes, that floated right in front of her. And then there was another incident, you know, which I won't go into detail. But so when she came back from Mexico in early August, she didn't tell me any of that. It was only afterwards, after I had this particular experience, which I'm going to explain to you, that she opened up. And what it was that I was outside my house. This is in mid-August or so of 2012. And I was waiting for a friend of mine to give me various parking tickets that I was going to do a motion to consolidate. So while I'm out there at about 9:30 at night, I'm looking at the sky between these two gigantic trees that's in front of our house, about a half a block away. And I said to myself, my God, that craft that my wife saw was huge, you know? And then all of a sudden, I remembered a video that I saw the night before of this fellow named Prophet Yahweh, who calls down crafts in the middle of the day. And what appears is that there's a little tiny speck of dust, you know, out in the sky, and he's videotaping it. I said, what the hell, you know, let me try it, you know? I don't lose anything, right? Yeah. Oh, I want to see you, the beautiful angelic craft that my wife saw. She describes you as angels. You came into our house and you totally cured Nena. I want to thank you for that. She had the privilege of seeing you several months ago when you came by. I haven't had the privilege of seeing your beautiful craft. Can you please show yourself, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And so it started off as, you know, I wasn't very, sincere about it when I first started. But then when I got into the calling, you know, of the craft, I was very into it, very sincere. So after 15 minutes of repeating this, all of a sudden, I said to myself, I'm freaking going crazy. This UFO stuff has got me nuts. I'm just going down the rabbit hole, and I'm just going deeper and deeper every time. You know, I need to get rid of this junk because it's just making me crazy. Then all of a sudden, what appeared on top of my neighbor's house, 5 feet from his roof, was a huge, gigantic craft, the size of a football stadium. Okay, it was translucent, made up of thousands and thousands of oblong streaks of light that formed the whole skeleton, the shell of the craft. And inside were all these white plasma streaks and movements. So you could clearly see the whole shape of this huge, gigantic craft that went up like 100 meters, 600 meters in length. The bottom of it was 5 feet from the neighbor's roof at a ranch-style house. And then I wasn't paranoid. You know, it was just total shock. And then all of a sudden, I heard a voice inside my head, which was my daughter's voice. And I said, Daddy, you and Mommy have seen UFOs. Next time you guys see one, you call me. All right, Daddy? Don't forget. Now, my daughter had never said this to me before. But inside my head was like, my daughter needs to see this UFO. She needs to see it. So I started calling her outside the window, you know, my house. She opened up the window. You know, I said, hurry up, sweetheart. There's a UFO out here. There's a UFO out here. Now, my daughter had just turned 10 years old. That's the last thing that you would do as a rational parent, you know. But she ran outside, so now we had two people seeing this huge, gigantic craft. Then, about 15 minutes later, my friend comes with his wife and their 17-year-old daughter, okay? I won't give you into all the details of it, but basically, they left after like 10 minutes. And then it was just my daughter and I, and then... I then became inundated with hundreds and hundreds of mosquitoes that were, you know, biting me to death. So then I grabbed my daughter's hand. And I said, let's go inside. These mosquitoes are killing me. And once we got inside, my daughter goes, Daddy, there were no mosquitoes outside. And it was like the hypnotist snapped his finger again. And I woke up. I said, oh, my God. And I quickly ran, got my camera, my video camera. I ran outside. But it was completely gone. So that was, you know, my second major experience. Then after I told it to my wife was like, oh, they came to visit you too, you know. You called them down. I told you they were angels. I told you they listened to, you know, all of this stuff. To her, it was like nothing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like she's been in contact with them for a long time, that type of stuff, you know. It's like it's a non-issue for her. And so, you know, meanwhile, my daughter was with us this whole time listening to all these conversations. So then my wife told me what happened in Mexico. And, you know, later on, I spoke with my daughter. I said, you know, did you listen to any of those conversations in Mexico? She says, yeah, I knew it, you know. And so, you know, my daughter was involved in listening to some of these conversations. So what happened was, and this is another, probably the most major experience that happened afterwards was, somehow I was, that same night or the next day, I was guided to a video on near-death experiences. Then I ordered like 40 books on Amazon on NDEs. And I even ordered the two-day mailing, so I got them right away. And then all I did for the next 4 months was just to read 18 hours a day. I didn't do any work. I didn't go out with my family. I didn't watch TV, didn't go to the internet, nothing. The only thing I would do is read NDE books. Okay, 18 hours a day for 4 months straight. My wife thought I was going insane. She was insisting that I go to a psychiatrist, saying that they got good medications now that can cure my mental illness, you know, because what I was doing was just not sane, you know, just reading these books, not UFO books, just near-death experience book and an occasional scientific consciousness studies book, but 18 hours a day. She would bother me. She said, no, I got to read this book. Got to read this book. It was like I was insane, you know, crazy. And then let me tell you, until when I did that, it wasn't, and I didn't even know these dates, the significance of these dates until much, much later on that people pointed out to me. December 21st, 2012, December 22nd, 2012, December 23rd, 2012.
Oh, okay? Yeah. Okay.
3 days in a row, I hit the lottery. The very first three people I asked about NDEs, the very first outside of my wife, all three of them told me they're NDEs. On those 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What are the statistical probabilities of that happening?
That's pretty impressive.
The billion.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one was a Friday, December 21st, 2012. My daughter had a low-grade fever for 2 days. My wife always brought her to the doctor. I didn't even know who this doctor was. So that day, my wife couldn't take her. So I took my daughter to the doctor. When we got there, they took a temperature. She didn't have any temperature. Subsequent, my daughter never had a temperature, you know, after that visit, you know, it was like it completely disappeared. So anyway, we're in the doctor's office, and out of my voice comes like this robot voice, sort of like a channeled voice. It was like, excuse me, doctor, have you ever heard of the term near-death experiences? I've just finished reading approximately 300 books on this topic, and out of those 300 books, approximately 50 were written by medical doctors such as yourself. And out of those, I would estimate approximately 10 were written by professors in medical school. So it's been scientifically validly studied, and it's something that you need to know about. Now, while I was saying this, I was like, I'm going schizophrenic, you know, shut up, you know. And meanwhile, the doctor's eyeballs pop out. And I said, oh, my God, she must think I'm a raging lunatic. She's never even met me, you know, and she probably thinks I'm a nut, you know. So then I told her, excuse me, doctor, I apologize. I don't know why I said that, you know. And she says, there's no need to apologize. How did you know I had one? Okay. And then she goes into the detail of her NDE. Where she sees the doctors, the nurse, saw exactly what they were doing because she was floating above their body. She floated through two walls, was on top of her parents. And then with my daughter next to me, she stated verbatim, like for 10 or 15 minutes, the conversation that her parents had. Okay? And at that point, I was like freaking out. I was like, holy cow, you know? This is not just a book anymore. You know, this is reality. And so then I won't give you all the details of what she told me because it's, you know, goes into details.
Okay,
then
wait. We got to take a break real quick because we got to take a quick break. You're listening to Ray Hernandez, and we're talking about free research into extraterrestrial encounters. More in just a few minutes. This is fascinating. And right now, an amazing thing is happening. Stick around.
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well.
I'm wet.
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl. What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold.
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Come to the forest. It's a place not so far away. A place where you don't have to mow the lawn or babysit.
I saw lizards and squirrels and bugs.
Ladybugs, caterpillars. It's really cool, actually.
A place where you don't have to make time for free time.
Lots and lots of kinds of species here.
Out here, you may even meet the mysterious creature known as the other you. The enchanted you.
It's magic what flowers do.
The adventurous you.
My favorite tree, yes, is that one.
The free-to-be-me you. Ask your parents to take you to this not-so-far-away place. Come to the forest, where the other you lives. But first, stop by discovertheforest.org, a public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, Larry, mind if I sit down?
Nope.
Oh, this coffee tastes like coffee. So what's going on?
Not much.
What's new?
Not much.
Okay, but can you please put the newspaper down while you say not much?
What newspaper?
This newspaper. Oh, dude, what happened to your face? I see one, two,
ow,
three, four, five, six,
ow,
seven. Dude, what is
ow
this? 11 pieces of toilet paper stuck to your face?
I'm shaving in the dark to save energy. I'm helping the environment.
That's a dangerous way to help the environment.
Well, sometimes you have to sacrifice yourself for the greater good.
Dude, there's an easier and safer way to help the environment without sacrificing yourself. Go green, go public. Take public transportation. It's good for the environment, and you won't have to live behind a newspaper.
Wow.
But for now, put the newspaper back up.
A message from the public transportation systems across the country. To learn more, visit publictransportation.org.
All right, we're back. This is Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett, Empower Radio. Thank you for tuning in. My guest, Ray Hernandez, is talking about FREE, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters. And, you know, it's easy to call it that, but there's so much that goes into this that is beyond what we have in the past considered extraterrestrial. For me, talking about this and connecting with others who've actually had experiences has helped me integrate my own encounters and understand it's just the tip of the iceberg, what we're learning. So that's why it's so important to have this kind of connection and communication and access to the research that Ray and the group have come up with. This study is the first of its kind. It is broad-based. It encompasses all sorts of experiencers. And that is a phenomenal thing that we're just beginning to learn how to connect some of these dots. And Ray, I had to interrupt you. I'm sorry, because we had to take a break.
Definitely. Well, since we don't have a lot of time, I'd rather focus the rest of my time, if we can, on FREE and what we're doing.
Absolutely,
it's not just
yeah
a research study. It's much more profound. But I just wanted to let individuals know that it's these types of experiences that I've had for the approximately a 3-year period. They've slowed down over the last year. But with that document that I sent you about Ezekiel Hernandez, just to let you know that a lot of this still continues. But it's these types of experiences which always reconnect you with the mission and purpose, and that ET contact is not just about abductions. It's something much, much more profound.
And I think that was big derailing thing, the abduction and all the frightening stuff and all the different races and all that. You know, it's basically very fear-based. But when John Mack, the interviews he had with the kids in South Africa, I think that was basically a mind-blowing in terms of getting the rest of the world on board with this isn't a big negative thing. That so many children yeah had this experience, and so many of them going back over the years to see how it changed them, how it broadened their view of humanity, I think said that there was a greater purpose for this contact, for these encounters, for whatever kind of experience you have with UFOs. It isn't about getting rid of us. They could have done that a long time ago. It's about helping us to plug in our own innate spiritual and empathic, empowered, whatever it is, abilities beyond just going to work and, you know, taking home a paycheck.
Yes. No, most definitely. Most definitely. Let me sort of begin to tie in everything that you've just mentioned into what we're doing. What happened was that, given my academic background, I began to do an academic literature review on experiences of individuals that have had UFO-related contact experiences. And what I discovered was that there was almost nothing on this topic. Even Dr. Mack's work was just based on a few experiencers that he, you know, interviewed them and wrote down some of their experiences in a narrative format. But in terms of statistics, there was almost nothing that has been done academically on experiences of UFO-related contact. I won't go into the detail of how FREE was formed, but that's another crazy experience that maybe Mary can go into you, discuss with you later on.
But
it was just, it was organized over a three-day period, and it was just one crazy event after another. It was like put in front of your face. What we have in FREE is we have a mixture of scientists. For example, Dr. Edgar Mitchell is one of our co-founders, and he's the founder of the Institute for Noetic Sciences, Six Men on the Moon. He's one of the founders of the UFO disclosure movement, et cetera, et cetera. I can't go in enough to discuss Edgar's accolades. And plus, he's a physicist working on consciousness studies. And then Dr. Rudy Shields is an emeritus professor now of astrophysics from Harvard, and also working on the field of consciousness studies for many, many years. And what a lot of people don't know is that he was a very close colleague of Dr. John Mack, and worked with Dr. Mack in many of his major cases. And Rudy still continued, even after Dr. John Mack passed away, to work with experiencers. And then Mary needs no introduction. She's one of the pioneers of researching individuals that have had anomalous, particularly UFO contact experiences. And then we have individuals like Kathleen Martin, who herself is also an experiencer. And she heads the experiencer research group out of MUFON, which is a UFO group. But her focus is on the experiencer side. And then we have Rosemary Ellen Guiley, who is one of the major authors on the paranormal. And she's written 62 books on the paranormal. She's also an experiencer. And then we have Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who was the first academic to actually write academic articles on experiences of UFO-related contact. And Leo himself is an experiencer. And we have Dr. Bob Davis, who's a retired PhD neuroscientist, who had seen a UFO only 3 or 4 years ago. But before, he was just as a rationalist and an atheist as I was.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary and I have been bringing him down this rabbit hole of ET contact experiences, and now he's fully down that rabbit hole with us. And a couple of other individuals, and almost everybody is an experiencer, one way or another, a contact experiencer.
Yeah.
So what we started was the very first academic research study on experiencers, and it has four phases. The first two phases are quantitative, which are surveys. Yes or no, 1 to 5, you know, those types of limited questions. And we have had, we have the survey running now in English and in Spanish, and we're going to be having the survey running in French, German, Portuguese, and Russian, and we're looking for volunteers to translate it in other languages as well. In English, we've had close to 2,200 individuals to take our phase one study. Over 1,200 have taken our phase two, which is the more more profound experiences. So it's a huge number. And then for phase three is we developed 60 open-ended questions, which is, you know, you could write a little dissertation on each question on along various thematic questions. For example, we have three questions on their family history of contact experiences. We have the actual contact experience. We have it divided in terms of contact experience here on Earth, contact experience on a craft, contact experience in a matrix type of reality, which we, you know, try to define, contact experience in a three-dimensional reality, but not on Earth. We have a whole series of questions in terms of the nature of the experience, you know, what actually took place. And it goes into healing, We have numerous discussions of healing, if people were taken, whether it was taken against their will, numerous questions. We talked about questions about the actual ETs themselves, you know, tons of questions, and then questions about their transformation. Questions about what the ETs told them, what they didn't tell them. 60 general questions. Then we also have questions about the physical experiences, and this is like the internet stuff, you know, the abduction stuff, the DNA extraction, the breeding program, the implants, and you know, all of those things. That you get on the internet. And then we have the psychological condition of the experiencer before these events took place, and then during, and then after. And again, these are open-ended questions where people can write, you know, 10 or 20 pages if they want on each of these questions. Then the final phase four, is actual one-on-one interviews. And these are going to be structured interviews. So it's a hardcore scientific study. We've got 5 retired academic professors on our board. And then the other 4 individuals are individuals like Mary and Kathleen Martin and Rosemary Ellen Guiley and this other experiencer from Peru. These are non-academics, but these are the people that have been out in the field, you know, talking to experiencers for the last 30 years. So it's a combination of the academics and the experiencer research side.
And I think that's important, because a lot of times when you have people who are just out there with no involvement in some way with the content, it's hard to discern the legitimacy. It's hard when you don't know this for yourself, having gone through it and having felt it and seen it and touched it and been, you know, exposed to it, to ask those questions or to understand a context for your information that you're getting and validate it is really difficult, in my opinion.
Correct. That's why we had this merging of these two perspectives. Now, one individual, that's an academic, he's a retired professor of psychology, Dr. John Klimo. He's considered by many as one of the world's leading authorities in the paranormal field. His most famous book is a book titled Channeling, which has been translated to 18 languages. And so he's one of the few academics that have managed to make an academic career in this field of the paranormal, which is quite rare. So he also was one of the is an advisory board member from the very beginning when we first started, and he actually is the chair of our research committee, and he has supervised over 250 PhD dissertations and has taught research methodology for over 40 years. So it's not like we're just getting anyone off the street, you know, participating here. We're really the cream of the crop.
Well, what I like to about this, I've done both the first and second part of this, and it's anonymous. So there's nothing to prove. There's nothing to gain. Either you've had the experience or you haven't, and you want to be part of this research because it serves a greater good.
Correct. It's completely anonymous. If you want to tell us your name or a pseudonym, you know, that's up to you. We don't ask you your date of birth, your social security number, your address, you know, anything to possibly reveal you. You will be a participant number. That's it. Even when we do the open-ended questions, you'll just have a number as well as the interviewer. You won't even know the name of the interviewer. The interviewer will be interviewer number, you know, 23. So no personal information, back and forth will be exchanged.
And that way it helps keep it a little less tainted by this thing that we have when we do any kind of research, the observer phenomenon, where you become part of the experiment without meaning to.
Correct. And so let me go over some of these findings here, which is really the essence now of what we're doing. Now, again, these are just preliminary research findings. We still need to do statistical analysis. We need to do cross tabulations. For example, how many of the small gray, the people that had seen small grays, how many of those were taking aboard a craft, or how many of those were told about spirit world issues, you know? How many of those had a healing by one of these small grays? So that's where the fun begins, to be able to do these cross-matching of the questions. You know, how many of they answered this question also you said yes to this other type of question. But let me go over to give you, as a background, our findings here are going to rock this field. It's not just ufology, because that crowd is just a very, very limited crowd, okay? We're talking about humanity, you know? Our audience ought to be, you know, educators, psychologists, scientists, you know, the regular humanity at large, not just the small little tiny sliver field known as ufology, because most of those people that go to these lectures, they're totally oblivious and clueless to what we're doing and to what really is going on.
Let
me go into some of these questions here. Okay, again, this is a UFO-related type of question, but just so people get the perspective. We had almost 1,800 individuals answer this question. 222 skipped it. And that is, have you seen an intelligently controlled craft in the sky or on the ground that was not man-made? So basically, have you seen a UFO? Okay. We had close to 1,400 people that said yes. Okay. Now, witnesses. How many of these people have had witnesses? Close to more than half. 65% have had witnesses. So if you've seen a UFO, more than likely, you're going to have a witness with it, just like in my case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We also asked them questions, numerous types of questions. For example, have they had out-of-body experiences? And roughly 60% have had out-of-body experiences. 65%, I'm sorry, 65%. So 65% of these experiencers have had, in general, the people that have seen UFOs and non-seen UFOs have had out-of-body experiences. We also asked questions after their experiences, have they seen auras? Can they see auras? It was 20% said yes around people. Have you had some kind of healing done on you by these entities? 41% said yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have you seen an ET? And the way we defined ET was a non-human intelligent being, you know, physically seeing them. And it was 56% said yes. Can you describe these entities and what type of entities were there? Now, the vast majority of people have seen humans, human-looking ETs.
Yeah.
And that number is 54%. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The next category is the short gray type. And that's 52%. And then a spirit form, like ghost-like spirit forms, 47%.
Yeah.
Okay? And then there are other categories. For example, the other categories we have here are the tall grays, the hybrids, the insectoids, there are reptilians, small animal type, large animal type, that sort of thing. But the vast majority have been the human-looking and the short grays. We also asked them questions in terms of, besides seeing them, have you actually interacted with them? 72% said yes, they've interacted with them.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen these entities? The vast majority is more than 20 times. 15% of the people have interacted with them more than 20 times. 22% almost, between 2 to 4 times. I won't skip all the numbers, but basically, oh, I'm sorry, more than 20 times is almost 40% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Of the responses have been more than 20 times. Okay? So 40% of the people said more than 20 times they've interacted with them. And then we had different ranges, you know, between 11 and 20, 8 to 10, 5 to 7, 2 to 4, or once. Then we ask questions about the specific type of entities, okay? For example, let me just skip to the human-looking type of entity. We asked them about their experiences. Was it mainly positive, mainly negative, equally positive and negative, neutral, or I'm not sure, okay? Mainly positive was 61%. Mainly negative was 4.4%. Equally positive and negative was 9.7%. Neutral was 10.8%. So the overwhelmingly amount said that it was not negative, not mainly negative.
Let me stop right there, because that's where Hollywood has a huge disconnect with what's happening in terms of your study results. Absolutely.
Correct. That's why I said it's going to blow out this field wide open. This is just a human looking type of entities. Now let's go to the so-called evil grays. Okay. That you look on the internet, like, you know, there's not one positive gray out there. Well, our research data shows that 29% of the experiences were mainly positive.
Yeah.
11.2% were mainly negative. Let me repeat, 11.2% were mainly negative. Equally positive and negative, and again, we need to find out why they answered this way. Mm-hmm. Equally positive and negative was 16.5%. Neutral was 20.3%. And I'm not sure was 23%. Now, altogether, there was 624 individuals that had contact with grays, these short grays. Okay? And the vast majority of them, almost 2-to-1, said it was more mainly positive than more mainly negative. Okay? So that takes Hollywood, you know, right out of it. Okay? Now, let's look at the tall grays. Okay? The tall grays. 408 people had contact with tall grays. Out of those, 31% said it was mainly positive. Again, I repeat, 31% it was mainly positive. Mainly negative was 11%. Equally positive and negative was 12.7%. Neutral was 18.6%. I'm not sure was 29.6%. Okay, those are the tall grays. Now, let's look at the worst of all, the evil reptilians. You know, no one has ever even seen or interacted with a positive reptilian. Okay, here is where we get a little bit more mixtures. Okay. Almost all of these other experiences, I'll go over the details in general, but even these so-called reptilians, 18% had positive experiences. Only 22.4% had mainly negative experiences. Let me repeat that again. Only 22.4% had mainly negative experiences. Equally positive and negative was 13%. Neutral was 16%. I'm not sure, which is, you know, can be lumped in with this neutral, or I'm not sure what it is, 30%. So only mainly negative experiences, 22%, 0.4%. All right? Now, let me jump to overall. We asked the question, how would you characterize your last few extraterrestrial encounter experiences? Now, again, we defined it as non-human intelligent beings. We are not saying that they indeed are extraterrestrials. Most of the members of our committee actually believe that they're, multidimensional beings.
Yeah,
but anyway, we asked,
So
we asked them, what are your beliefs now? How would you characterize your experience? So the first one is, it was a case of abduction of the most negative kind. Only 8% said that. Okay. This overall, all the different types of entities, only 8% said it was abduction of the most negative kind. Now, moving up the scale, it's a case of abduction, but of a milder, slightly more caring kind. That was 13.4%. So again, it doesn't even add up to 20% yet. Now, moving up the hierarchy, it was a case of abduction, but seeking permission, explaining, more compassionate. That was 9%. Again, moving up the hierarchy, it was a case of being a contactee, an experiencer, treating you as more of an equal, 33%. Now, is that Hollywood? Is that the internet?
No.
Okay.
No.
Now, the last category, being a conscious contactee, conscious, cooperative, egalitarian, collegial, 36.6%.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you add the last two categories, which is, you know, extremely positive, we're talking 69%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Even the people that said there was a case of abduction, of a permission, they were seeking your permission to take you. They were explaining to you. They were much more compassionate. That was, again, another 9%. So when you add both of those up, it's like 77% or so.
Yeah.
Okay? No, more. It was actually 21, 22. It was, 78% were the total. So, and then we asked tons of other type of questions.
Okay, okay. Well, we got 4 minutes.
Yep.
We have four minutes. So I want to give you a full opportunity to get people involved in this. So please give out the contact information and the background in the final, in the wrap-up.
Surely, surely. Yeah, in a wrap-up. We are in the process of developing a website. Right now, we just have like a one page, but hopefully in about a month and a half, we should have the beginnings of a web page. Our website is experiencer.org. That's experiencer.org. That's our website. And there we'll have a link to our research data. You could see all the PDFs to the 600 questions. You could take a look at the questions that we're going to be asking for our phase three, these written open-ended questions, and see the members of our board of directors. And it will also have a website in case you have any questions. So we did have a cutoff for the research finding in English, but we're still going to be collecting that data. But we'll just say it's pre-cutoff and post-cutoff. So there's also going to be a link there to our survey if you want to take phase one. And after you take the phase one, we will send you phase two.
Okay. And, so anybody listening right now, yeah. If this is outdated, hopefully details will be on the website, experiencer.org. I just want to clarify
correct.
That because this will be running in perpetuity.
And one last thing that I just want to say is that for us, the most overwhelming finding is the transformation of the individual. Complete and total transformation. And that backed up the hypotheses of Dr. John Mack and also Dr. Kenneth Ring, who did a major study comparing people that have had NDEs and people that have had ET contact. Mm-hmm. And basically concluded that it's the same individual. These individuals have had profound spiritual transformations. Before they cared about money, now they don't care about money. It's tons of transformational issues. And you can see all of those findings in experiencer.org. We should have it, the data up and running by about December 15th, the results of all of our data.
See, that's the thing that I find so illuminating and so affirming is that when we go through these experiences, it doesn't frighten us. It makes us more, in my experience, curious and enthusiastic and proactive and believing that, oh my gosh, this is the coolest time to be alive because this stuff is finally coming out of the closet and we're getting to see a little piece of magic as it takes form and transforms humanity into a more conscious race, in my opinion.
We ask that question in many, many different ways. And it basically what it is, it's an awakening. All of these individuals that took our survey, almost all of them have been totally transformed and totally awakened into a new outlook of our reality. And I think this is the major outcome from our study. And it's too bad we didn't have any more time, but maybe in a couple of months I can come back and go over specifically those topic areas.
Oh, you betcha.
People
you betcha.
Have been transformed.
Yes. Okay. Ray Hernandez, if you want to do any more research on this on your own, check out the website. You can also join the Facebook group. Okay? Experiencer.org. That'll get you started. I'm Wendy. This is Conscious Living and Power Radio. Take care. Till next time. See ya.